Well, last week we were starting a journey in Acts. So you guys are going to get part one, two, all in the same message, okay? So we're going to cover a lot of stuff, so put your seatbelts on and put your listening ears on together, okay? Last week we started talking about the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is such a beautiful book. It's one of the most powerful books if you really look at it, because it's God revealing to the world what he's getting ready to do, and that's to start the church, and the church's mission is to carry the name of Jesus Christ to all people so that they will know that he is Lord. And one of the overwhelming arching kind of ideas that you kind of get out of Acts, and you're going to see this all the way through Acts, is that Jesus was coming and announcing that he is an overwhelming authority that has entered into this world. In other words, he is the Lord. And in Acts, you'll see that all these people started to recognize that Jesus is Lord. Now, I don't know if you can say that, but if you can't say that, but would you just say that with me? Just declare that Jesus is Lord. I mean, there's something different about saying that. It's the opposite of just coming to church and going, okay, do I agree with what that guy says, or do I not agree with what he says, or did I like the music, or didn't I like the music, and then you go home. When you're saying Jesus is Lord and he's my Lord, what you're saying is I'm surrendering all of me to you, all of me to your authority. Whatever you ask me to do, wherever you ask me to go, I will do, I will say, and I will be everything that you want me to be. Not my will, but your will be done in my life. And that's what you'll see all the way through Acts, because here's kind of a spoiler alert. Almost all the disciples die for the message of Christ. And what they said is that he is an overwhelming authority, and I'm submitting to him as the Lord of my life, and I will do whatever it takes to carry the name of Jesus Christ to another person so that they can have the saving knowledge that there is a God that loves them right where they're at, with all of their baggage, with all of their sins. He loves them and he cherishes them and he wants eternity with them. And so they surrendered their life, and this authority goes out and into the world. A second thing that you'll kind of see in the book of Acts is that there's an all-consuming assignment that you and I are supposed to be part of. I don't understand why God chose to use you and me. It's kind of a baffling thing, but you and I are supposed to be part of this all-consuming assignment. If you're looking for your purpose, what are you supposed to be doing in life? You are supposed to be carrying the name of Jesus from here, there, everywhere you're at your jobs, when you're at Myers, when you're at Starbucks and the barista gave you the wrong coffee and it's decaf instead of caffeinated. I mean, you're supposed to be showing the love of Christ there, everywhere. And your assignment is to live a life so that people see that there's something unique and special about you. And it's not you special, it's what God has done within you and what God has placed within you that's special. And we're all part of that assignment. And you'll see that carried on throughout the book of Acts. And you'll see that now not only do we have this all-consuming assignment, it means that that's our focus, and that's what we're living for, that's why I was born, is that God didn't just give us that assignment, but he gave us also a sufficient power to carry out that assignment, and which is so cool, because it means it's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on my personality. It's not dependent on how I do things. It's dependent on God to equip me, to empower me, to show me directions, and for God to speak to me and give me the abilities and to keep me going and towards that assignment. That's what God does. He doesn't just say, here's a God-sized assignment, good luck. He goes, no, I'm going to give you my spirit. And my spirit is sufficient. And it's an all-consuming power. And then the other overarching thing that you'll see is that you'll see that there's this big thing called assimilation going on. And what I mean by that is that Jesus is forming his church. People are coming to know who Jesus Christ is, and they're forming a body of believers who are doing the one another's. They're loving one another. They're caring for one another. They're taking care of one another. They're doing whatever it takes to help their brothers and sisters in Christ make it on the journey of life. And they're all assimilated into this thing that's called the church. And you'll see that all the way through Acts. And I think that's what's so beautiful about Acts. It's not like Acts is kind of like chapter 1 through 3 is this, and then the rest of it is this, and it's broken. No, you'll see every single chapter, every single movement, you will see that the authority of God on display. You will see this all-consuming assignment going out. And you'll see that it's equipped with a very specific force and power named the Holy Spirit going out, and then people are being brought into the body one after another, and all of a sudden it catches fire, and it consumes. And I kind of told you, but you probably don't remember because I could barely remember last week, is when we're going into the book of Acts, I don't want you to think of this as just a historic book or what God did in the past. Because this is what God is doing in the here and the now. He hasn't stopped making the name of Jesus known. Because Jesus' name is above all other names. He is the authority that is above heaven, above earth, and above everything below the earth. And everything is being made his footstool. It's all about Jesus. And you and I are part of that. It hasn't stopped. Because if it stopped, you and I are dead. We have a mission to accomplish by the power of God's Spirit. And you'll see this all the way through the book of Acts, and it's so beautiful. Because it changes. What you see is you're going to see changed lives. Because once the Holy Spirit comes into somebody, their life is radically changed. And you're going to see the all-consuming authority and overwhelming authority of Jesus Christ toppling empire after empire. Yes, Rome may be in charge at this time, and the empire of the known world, but you know what? There's the authority of Christ is over that, and he's going to be made known no matter what. And it's reassuring for me, because it means in our world right now, that no matter what's going on, no matter what government's doing, what's going on over in North Korea, what's going on in the Soviet Union, or wherever you want to name, I am not worried about that stuff, because I have a God that's still in charge and the authority of all those governments. And they have to submit to him. So when we go into the book of Acts, don't look at it as something of the past. It's now. It's what God wants to accomplish here, there, and everywhere through you and through me. If you have your Bibles, you want to open up and to Acts chapter 2. We're going to kind of look at Acts chapter 2. But there's a few things that I'm hoping for. I'm hoping out of this series that God ignites a fire in your heart. I am hoping that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you and consume you to the point where you start to submit to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, and you will see radical change in your life, and then you will be impacting people around you for Christ. I'm hoping that for some of you, you will go, you know what, it's about time for me to go. It's time for me to share my faith with somebody. It's time for me to love somebody. It's time for me to care for somebody. And some of you, it might be just going here locally. Some of you, it might be going in the nation. But I'm hoping that maybe there's somebody that God is calling to go overseas and take his name to the tribes and languages that they don't know yet. Because this is what Jesus is doing. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. He's making Jesus known to the world for the glory of the Father. And so as we get into Acts, my hope is that it would change us. And it'd help us to see that we are part of something greater than us. So as we get into Acts chapter 4, or 2, I'm sorry, you're going to see four major movements. So just kind of give you a heads up. First, you're going to see that the Holy Spirit of God is poured out. Then you're going to see that the gospel is boldly preached, because you have this assignment for us to go out and do the gospel, right? But then you also have the sufficient power that's came down to enable you to do the mission. So you have the Holy Spirit coming down, the gospel being boldly preached, people's lives are radically changed, and they are marked by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to see that the church explodes into life. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And if you remember, Jesus gave them instructions in chapter 1. In chapter 1, Jesus said, I want you to go. And this is after Jesus ascended and he sits at the right hand of the Father now. He says, I want you to go to the specific place and I want you to wait. I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes down. So the people are waiting for the Holy Spirit of God to come down. And then it says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. They were sitting there. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, 120 of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I mean, this is where people get a little bit weirded out by the Holy Spirit. And don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, please. He is not weird. The Holy Spirit is God is sending the Holy Spirit to empower His people, that's you and I, to go out and boldly proclaim the wonders that God has done. And He gives us the abilities. Now, in this instance, you're going to see this word tongues. Now the interpretation, if you go back, it's not the gift of tongues, like somebody speaking tongues, the spiritual gift. This is actually a known language. So the Holy Spirit comes down and settles on all these people, and they begin to speak into other languages. You know, one guy's speaking, Italian. Another guy's speaking maybe something from Crete. Somebody's speaking something from Egypt, and all these different areas. They're speaking so that way that people can hear of the glorious deeds of God and what He's done. He's empowered them. He's equipped them to be able to do this. And it's so incredible because God still does this. I was just reading an article about a missionary, and he was speaking in China. And when he was speaking in China, he had an interpreter, and the interpreter said to him, "I didn't know you knew Chinese." And he was speaking, and God was taking over his mouth, and the people were hearing it in their native tongue. God is still at work. God is still working. He's equipping. He's empowering us to do His work. And he says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And I think that's an incredible insight, that little line there. It doesn't seem to be that incredible. What's happening is, if you remember, Jesus, when He laid down His life for our sins, was during the time of Passover. When He rose from the grave, it was during the time they were celebrating this incredible celebration that they would celebrate. And all the Jews would come from all the known worlds. Some of those Jews were exiled there because they rebelled against God and they got taken there. Some of those Jewish people went freely to different nations. But during the Passover, it's like a great big family reunion where they're all coming together and they're celebrating this incredible feast. So Jerusalem, this little teeny tiny city, and it's really not a big city even today, is all of a sudden exploding with people during this time. But meanwhile, Jesus raises from the dead. He starts to appear to different people for 40 days to kind of show them, hey, I'm not a dead Savior, I'm alive. I've risen from the grave. And then he shows them who He is, and then he's like getting ready to equip them to go out and do the work during this time. I think it's important that we see that gathering of all these Jewish people coming from all the different nations during this very specific moment. And God chooses to put the Holy Spirit on display for one purpose, so that the glories of God would be made known to the people of the world. And you see this just kind of unfolding. It says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, what sound? The sound that was like a wind coming from heaven, and it was loud. And what sound did they hear? They probably heard people speaking in different languages, and it was so loud, it was overwhelming that it drew a crowd of people. It says a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" In other words, they're like, aren't these guys just simpletons? Aren't these guys just fishermen? Maybe some carpenters mixed in there? I mean, it's like they're stunned that all of a sudden these guys know their language. Aren't they just Galileans? And this is how it is that each of us hears them in our own native language. And then this is the part where you'll have to... pardon me if I mispronounce these, because I think all the pastors skip over these ones. But I want us to see them, because these nations are part of the known world of the time, and God's getting His message out. And it says the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia. Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" I mean, could you imagine just being there in that moment? And I don't know about you, but this gets me a little excited. Because this is the overwhelming assignment, an all-consuming assignment that God is putting into motion. He's supplying the power, putting it into motion, and he's making the name of Jesus known to all of the world right then. And he's using his disciples. He's equipping them to go out and do this. And they begin to speak another language. I mean, just imagine being one of those 120 people, and all of a sudden you start speaking Italian. And you're like, I'm speaking some other language. I don't even know what this is. Because, you know, you're a Galilean. You might know some Arabic. You might know some Greek. And maybe if you might know some Jewish, but probably not. So all of a sudden you're speaking this other language, and you're coming up to other people, and they're like looking at you like, who are you? What are you saying? I don't even know what you're saying. And then all of a sudden you come up to somebody that's an Italian, and the guy goes, hey, you're speaking Italian. Really? I'm speaking Italian? Yeah, you're speaking Italian. This is like Rosetta Stone on steroids happening right here. Everybody is getting to know and hear the wonders of God. Why? Because of the mission. To go out and to make the name of Jesus Christ known to all the nations. He said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's starting right there. And they're part of it. I think that's pretty exciting. And you and I, we're part of this. It's still happening right now. There are still people that have not heard the name of Jesus Christ. Some of them are at your workplace. Some of them are on the street. Some of them are at Myers. Some of them are in other nations. Some of them are just across the state line. And you and I get to be part of that mission. And God does something. He equips you by giving you the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this mission. So you can kind of see a few things right away in these scriptures. First of all, you have to understand that a God-sized plan requires God's power. If you think you can accomplish something under your own power, then it's going to be very minor. It's not going to make an impact for the kingdom. If you are doing something that you know that you can't accomplish without God's help, then you know that you're on the right path and purpose in life. Because God's mission is way bigger than us. And you need God-sized power to help you accomplish that mission. And God gave that power called the Holy Spirit. And he's going to equip you with whatever resources you need. He's going to equip you with the words. He's going to equip you with the direction. And he's going to give you the strength and the power and the foresight to do it. And you see this going out to all the nations of the world. Several years ago, when Angie and I got married, I think about 26 years now, we'll get one in 27, we got a grill. You know, have you ever had to assemble a grill? I think that's like anybody that's going to get, if you end up in hell, I think that's part of what you end up doing, okay? Because they're just like a nightmare. And I was young, had no clue. I put it together, and then it tells you to leave it on so you burn off all the oil. Well, my wife had people coming over, like lots of people, for a grill party. I turned it on, let it run for, I don't know how long enough to make sure that it was like nice cherry red, I guess. I kind of forgot about it. But then I shut the tank off and figured, oh, propane, there's enough in there to make it last. Well, she comes out with like this slab of burgers, you know. So, and I place on the grill all these burgers, but yet there's hardly any flames. I mean, I have that thing turned up as high as I can turn up, and what's happening is the flames are actually being put out by the cold meat that was on it. And I'm in a panic going, what do I do? And fortunately, there's Myers, and I could go get a tank. What kind of struck me is that those hamburgers, they didn't even have a mark on them. That's how cold it was. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't even have the mark of the Holy Spirit on them because they have not submitted to the Holy Spirit in them. You don't even have a fire on the inside of you. Because you are about your will and your desires and what you want to accomplish here on earth. You're not about the kingdom work. And meanwhile, what happens is because of that fire that God wants to start in it, you just put it out. You can't even hear the Holy Spirit telling you what to do anymore. And God wants to rise up and ignite that fire because he says, I'm an all-consuming flame and my flame will never run out. And when you are marked by the Holy Spirit, your life has changed and your direction changes and you want to get kingdom work done. For the glory of God, not for your glory. And God says, I'm going to ignite a fire. But you got to submit. you got to surrender all of you and make me the Lord. You got to be willing to go here, there, over here, whenever I tell you to. You need to care for that person. You need to give to this person. You need whatever I'm telling you, you got to surrender it all. Otherwise, the power of the Holy Spirit gets extinguished in somebody's life. There's a lot of Christians walking around right now that are not marked by the Holy Spirit. You've received the Holy Spirit because this is what I believe. I believe that as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But there's a difference between making Jesus the Lord of your life, where you're in complete surrender and you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful when this happens, and this is what we see in the book of Acts. You see that the Holy Spirit coming so that way they can do this all-consuming assignment and giving them power. And first you see changes in the people, and then you see them changing the world. And in a mark of a Christian is that you have a changed life. You're living a life that is set apart for the glory of God. The problem with a lot of Christians, we bought into the American palatable Christian, meaning that there's no power, there's no authority in their lives because it's kind of scary to go out. And God says, that's not my design for you. My design for you is to set you free, to set you in motion, and to give you power to make known the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit comes in, begins changing these people to accomplish the mission. When I look at a map, I love maps. I love kind of geography. When you kind of look at this, most of you are probably thinking, oh, Middle East area, right? What this is the known world of the time when the Holy Spirit came. Jerusalem, this little tiny dust bowl, insignificant city in the Roman kingdom, Jesus Christ comes. He lives a perfect life. He dies on a cross, an excruciating death for our sins. In Jerusalem, he's placed in a tomb, and he raises from the dead, and he's seen, and he ascends. And in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit comes. And the mission goes out. Egypt, Judea, Arabia, all the known kingdoms of the world at that time. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he makes a big deal about Jesus, doesn't he? And if you're a Christian and you're not making a big deal about Jesus, then you might not be submitting to the Holy Spirit that God has placed to you, inside of you. I know that sounds harsh, I know that sounds difficult, but the truth is when you have the Holy Spirit in you and you've surrendered to the Holy Spirit, your focus is not about you. Your focus is about the kingdom. Yes, you might be a CEO of a company and you're doing it well. Yeah, you're gifted at it, but that's not your purpose. You may be a hairstylist and you may be really good at styling hair, but that's not your purpose in life. Your purpose is to join into the mission of what Jesus Christ is doing in the world. And that's making himself known through the power of the Holy Spirit. You might be a mother, and you might be very gifted at being a mother, but that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to make Jesus Christ known. You might be a college student right now, and you're going to college, and you think you're going to be this, or you're going to be an engineer, you're going to be this, or you're going to be that, and you're thinking, wait a minute, this is my purpose in life. That's not your purpose in life. You might be gifted at all those things. The purpose is to make Jesus Christ known to the ends of the earth. Here, there, and everywhere. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit was placed in the believer. So that way we could have distinct lives that are holy lives surrendered doing the will of God, which is making his son known. That's our mission. You want to have satisfaction in life? Join in that. Start doing that. The people did that. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They immediately went out and started to preach bold about who Jesus Christ was to all the ends of the earth. So the other thing that you kind of see happening, the Holy Spirit comes and there is a noticeable change. There's a noticeable change in the people. And what happens is the people are emboldened. There's a fire in them to tell people about their glorious God. that he's provided salvation, that he's provided hope. He provides strength in this broken world. He lifts those who are weary. He carries the burdens of those who have burdens. That's our Savior. And that people go out boldly and do this. They're changed from the inside out. Now, I'm not talking about a personality change, okay? Because you're thinking, well, you know, I'm an introvert. That's why I don't talk about Jesus. Can I just say something honestly? I'm an extreme introvert. And you're like going, yeah, right, Kelly. You're up on that stage talking in front of people. Oh, I see you walk up to that person and talk to him. Well, I am so extreme at being an introvert, I actually make a hermit crab jealous because of the shell that I actually crawl into when I go home. I'm serious. You ask my wife, I'm perfectly happy being alone, except for without her. But it's not about personality. It's about going, okay, God, I am sold out into you. I am surrendered. God, I cannot do this. I cannot get up here on Sunday morning unless your power of your Spirit is in me. Tell me what to say because I have nothing. And when you show up, you got something. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. And I rely on the Holy Spirit every single moment that I'm up here because I don't like to be in front of people. So don't tell me you cannot share Jesus with your neighbor. Don't tell me you can't share Jesus with your neighbor. Don't tell me you can't go to work and show the love of Christ to those around you. Don't tell me you can't talk about him because of your personality. Do you know what you've received? You've received the grace and mercy of God. And you've been called a child of God. You've received all of his love. Don't you want other people to have that? Don't you want them to have that hope? Don't you want to join into the mission because it's so exciting that God saves us? These people were excited. They couldn't wait. In fact, they got a different gift to speak in a different language. God's equipped each one of you in different ways. Use those gifts for his glory. And we can see the world changed. We can see that consuming fire all of a sudden consume and ignite the hearts of people. And we get to see people coming to know who Jesus Christ is. So we see that the Holy Spirit coming. There's a noticeable change in the people. Their passions change. Everything about them changes. They begin to focus on the kingdom of God. They begin to focus on how far do I have to go? And God says, you have to go as far as I ask you to go. Their attitude is, I can't stop, I won't stop because of the kingdom of God. I can't stop, I won't stop because somebody needs to know who Jesus Christ is. So they go from here to there, to everywhere. And it doesn't matter their personalities. Because they realize this incredible gift that they have. And the world needs to know. And we're living in a time that our world needs to know Jesus Christ. So who's the Holy Spirit? Here's what happens when you talk about the Holy Spirit. People start to think that you're a little bit weird here. People either throw the Holy Spirit out because they're confused, or they get all feely-touchy with the Holy Spirit and he's like something mystical, weird thing. Let me just tell you, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes much about Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and what he does and what he's going to accomplish in you and I. In John chapter 15, he says this, when the Counselor comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send you, which we just read about the Holy Spirit coming. He said, I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about who? Jesus. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So what's the Holy Spirit do? He makes a lot to do about who Jesus Christ is. He points to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing too. Jesus says, you want your mission? Here it is. Oh, by the way, I'm giving the Holy Spirit who has the same mission. You don't hear, but what's really unique in Acts, you don't hear all of a sudden, you know, Peter standing up and talking about the Holy Spirit and giving sermons on the Holy Spirit. No, he, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he begins to preach about Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to make a lot about Jesus Christ known. And to bring him glory. Because when Jesus is glorified and people come to Jesus, you know what happens? God is glorified. And they're all about working together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to carry out this incredible mission, to let the whole world know what God has done. And he says, I want you to be part of it. And I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wouldn't be pastoral if I skipped this. And I'm just speaking as a pastor. There are other spirits in the world, and we have to understand that. Just so you know, I'm going to be skipping to 1 John chapter 4. There's other spirits in the world. And they deceive, and they distract. And we got to be able to identify the difference between the Holy Spirit and the spirits that are in this world. They exist, whether we like it or not. John says it this way, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says, test them. Make sure that you know that somebody is working in the power of the Holy Spirit or living in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how we can recognize in verse 2 the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard come and heard is coming, and now even already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And I love that, because we don't have to worry about the other spirits of the world, do we? Because we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us as believers, and he has the authority of Jesus Christ, and he has to submit, or every other spirit has to submit to him in this world. But we have to test him. In Acts, there's a moment, Silas and Paul, we're having this, they're trying to preach about Jesus, and what happens is this other spirit is there, and this other spirit is trying to distract, trying to pull people away from God and the attention of his glory and what God is about revealing Jesus, and they're trying to reveal Jesus to people. And this lady, it tells us, he says, once when they were going to a place of prayer where they met a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and you're thinking, well, what's wrong with that? They're talking about, you know, she's yelling out that these men are from the Most High God and they're telling you the way to be saved. What that spirit is doing is it's causing distraction. And you know what's going on? It's annoying. Because that spirit does not want whoever Paul and Silas are talking to receive Jesus Christ. And what happens with the spirits of this world, they will use a little bit of truth to try to distract us. So we have to understand there's other spirits at work. And when we start to understand that, we can see which one is the Holy Spirit. It says, she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. And I think this is important, because you can kind of tell in a believer's life if they're spirit-filled or not. Here's how you can simply tell. And I think Acts shows us this. Are they talking a lot about Jesus Christ? Are they talking about what Jesus is doing in their life? Have they talked about what Jesus is doing in the world? See, somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit has an all-consuming fire to go out and proclaim and to take Jesus everywhere with them. There's a lot of people that just talk about it too. Are they doing it? Are they doing it? Because you see in Acts, they're talking about this incredible thing, but they're doing it. They're getting it out there. So we have to live in the middle of this. Living by the Holy Spirit, not being deceived by other spirits, proclaiming and doing the mission of Christ. And this is incredible when you see it in the book of Acts, because these people are overwhelmed. They're confused because of everything that's going on. I think we're all confused because of what's going on too, because we don't understand the spiritual, but Jesus is trying to tell us that's already been defeated. And then it says, some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who lived in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you supposed. They are only, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel's a prophet who predicted what this was going to happen. And what was going to happen? In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And there they are, prophesizing. You know, it's interesting. They thought these were the last days. And that was 2,000 years ago. A day is to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day to God, right? So maybe we're in day two. I don't know. But they were prophesizing. That's what you and I, when we're empowered with the Holy Spirit, we're taking part in this. We're telling the wonders of God. And Joel, it was important for him to say Joel because they were Jewish people. And he says, they're going to prophesy. Your young women will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So God's got a plan. God's got it going. It's Spirit-filled and empowered to go out and proclaim the name of Christ. And then he says, I will show wonders in the heaven above. And this is about when Jesus is going to return. He says, I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And let me just tell you, that great and glorious day of the Lord is also a horrible, awful day. Because on that day, there will be no more accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. On that day, every nation, every government, every tribe, every tongue is going to bow down on their knees before Jesus Christ. And I like the way he finishes the section. It says, and everybody on that day, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be saved. Peter then finishes and gives a sermon because the people are wondering what they must do. He tells them to repent, live lives that are holy and upright, and then join the mission. And that's the good news. You and I still have time. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I just want to tell you about this glorious news. Jesus the Christ entered this world and died for your sins. Because we have a glorious God that loves you. A glorious God that wants eternity with you. And not did he just die, he rose from the grave and he's ascended. And he sent the power of the Spirit to reveal his name to you. And all you have to do is accept. For those of you that are believers, there's great news. There's a fire that God is waiting to ignite in you. So you can be empowered to live a holy life set apart for his purposes here and now. But will you make him the Lord of your life? All through Acts, he is Lord. He is Lord of all. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We just thank you that you're a God who loves us so much that you initiated a plan. Even before the foundations of the earth were formed, it says that you already made a plan to come and rescue and to save us. God, we are so humbled by that and overwhelmed. God, help us to join into your mission here, there, everywhere, so that we can carry the name of Jesus Christ to everyone, to the ends of the earth, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.